We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
Welcome everyone to this webinar, Leading a Culture of Reading, How to Engage and Inspire Readers in Your School Community. We are joined here by Lorraine Radice. We're so excited to have you. Just a quick reminder to navigate to solutiontree.com/leading literacy to learn more about the how-to guide for building a celebratory culture of reading. And then in addition to that, a quick bio here of our presenter. Dr. Lorraine Radice is an educator, author, and presenter. She is currently the pre-K through 12 director of literacy in a public school district in New York and teaches courses in childhood education and literacy studies at Hofstra University. All right. I'm going to go ahead and hand over the presentation to you. Dr. Radice, thank you so much for your time and for sharing this time with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining this webinar. I'm really excited to spend the next hour with you. I see somebody is putting Hofstra Pride in the chat. That's awesome. I encourage you to use the chat during our time together. Use the emojis, share some feedback. I'd love to look at it, you know, at the end of our time. And that's one way that we can create a little community here together in our digital space. If social media is your thing and you'd like to share your learning this afternoon, please feel free to share on Instagram, on X. My handle is right there on the first slide. And I'd love to hear from you. And like I said, I'd love to know what really resonated with you during our time together. So one of the things that I welcome you and invite you to do is share what you are currently reading. Since we're going to talk a lot about celebrating and prioritizing reading today together, one of the ways that we can do that is by putting some books in the chat, and maybe you'll get a recommendation from someone who's joining us here. I recently finished The Puppets of Spellhorse by Katie Camillo, which is her latest book. Katie Camillo is a storyteller that has been telling lovely stories for young readers for years. And if you are looking for a great read aloud for young children, if you're looking for a great text to read in a shared experience with middle school readers, I encourage you to check this book out. It's a great story about love and finding yourself and just the power of stories. So that's what I just finished. I'm not currently reading it, just finished it. So just a little bit about me. As Prisma shared, I am the author of Leading a Culture of Reading. I'm also a professional developer, so I work with teams of teachers in schools. And I also am the pre-K to 12 director of literacy in a public school district in New York. I'm an associate professor at Hofstra. And in my free time, when I'm not reading, I do love to binge watch TV shows. I love a great show. I'm a huge football fan, so I'm a little sad because the season is coming to an end, but I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl. I love tortilla chips. I love tea. And I am a kindness ambassador. I think kindness makes everything better. And that picture there on the right is a picture that my stepdaughter had drawn of me when she was young. And when I asked her, "What are you drawing?" she said, "Well, when I grow up, I want to be happy like you and Dad." And there's me with my long hair and my husband next to me. She gave me a nice pair of long legs there in the drawing. But every time I think of that moment, I smile. Kids are brilliant. They are intuitive. They can do great things. And I just love to, you know, share that positive thought with you as we start our time together. So I'm going to really tell you a story over the next hour about work that I do with teams of educators in my school district to celebrate and prioritize reading. I was fortunate enough to be hired as a director, first of curriculum instruction and assessment, and then eventually just focusing on literacy. And one of the visions of my superintendent was to develop a culture that celebrates authentic practices in reading and really fosters a love of reading in students. And that is what I was tasked to do. So I was coming from the classroom, and you know, I was a literacy teacher. And this was an opportunity for me to take some of the practices that I used in my classroom to develop a culture of reading with my own students, and then really bring that to a larger community and work with teams to grow this culture across the district. So when we think about developing culture, we can think about culture as the common denominator and the glue that really brings people together. Whether you're working in a classroom with your students and their families, or you're working in a school with many adults and many students, or a district in many schools and many administrators, many teachers, many students, the culture is really what people can subscribe to share a common belief in something. And reading can be that something. So when we start to build culture, developing a vision is really important, because everything that you do, and I'm going to give you a lot of practical ways to build that reading culture today, ties back to the vision, the pillars of the vision. And that helps to guide the work. So these are our five pillars, really, to building reading culture in my school community. And the first one is that reading is important. It's very simple. You know, I'm not naive to think that this is a new idea. But sometimes when we elevate ideas through culture building, they take on a new life. So reading is important because it's how we make meaning. So if we subscribe to that idea that reading is something that gives us access and agency and perspective in life, it helps our imaginations flourish. It helps us develop language, gives us information. That is a reason to proceed with building a culture that celebrates and prioritizes reading. The second part of the vision is that engagement is important. When people are personally invested in something, it helps to elevate the experience that they want to be involved. Another foundational idea is that joy is important. School is a place that people should want to be, both adults and students. And reading and building a culture that celebrates reading can not only prioritize the act of reading and its importance, but it also can spread joy in so many ways across your reading community. And I'll share with you, a lot of events that have brought a lot of joy to our community, both for adults and for kids. And the fourth idea for the vision is that community is important. So when we think about building reading cultures, we want to embrace the community, because we are in a business of people, and everyone is important because people are our greatest assets. And we want to really value the roles that all people play in a child's life to help them develop their reading identity. And similarly, we want to embrace this fifth idea, that everyone is important when it comes to building reading culture, because you never know who is going to be that person that hooks kids into reading so that they commit to it and, you know, eventually hopefully develop an appreciation and a love for reading. And all stakeholders can hold that magic. So here you see, you know, the nurse having a currently reading sign. And then 1 year, kids even involved their pets in sharing book love that you see on the right there. And here we have our parents on the left at an event, and then our partners at the public library in the town of my school on the right. And, you know, I'll share more about that. So the book that I wrote, Leading a Culture of Reading, is built on work that Richard Allington and Anne McGill Franzen did. They did a review of the research about the relationship between reading volume and reading achievement. And what they found after looking across several studies is that there is a positive relationship between the amount of time students spend reading, both in and out of school, and reading achievement. So a lot of the strategies that we're going to look at today together are in an effort to increase students' reading volume, because the more we create a culture that motivates them to be involved in their reading, we strive to have them read more. And I'm going to share five umbrella ideas on how we can encourage kids to be excited about reading, to celebrate reading, and then hopefully increase their volume of reading because they have really subscribed to the culture that they are participating in either their classroom and or school. So the first way is to brand reading, to leverage a campaign and attract followers. The second way that we'll look at is how adults can be reading role models and the important role that adults play in children's lives. Then we're going to look at strategies to make your reading culture visible, participatory, and celebratory. And then we're going to look at strategies where we put students in leadership positions so that they are the ones who are driving the culture building in your classroom or your school. And then we'll talk about the importance of partnering with families. So as we go through these practical strategies, I invite you to think about what is your reading identity and what is most important for you in developing a literacy community within your school and classroom. What are you passionate about that you can bring to this work? Again, we want to embrace the community and embrace people. And if you are leading this work, you want to think about what you are passionate about to bring to the work. And then how can this work really come alive in your context? Every context is different, but I'm hoping that maybe you see some things today that maybe you want to replicate or you might modify to fit the needs of your community. Okay, so our first strategy is brand reading, leveraging a reading campaign and attracting followers. So Common Sense Census Media puts out a lot of studies about tweens and teens' use of social media. And to no surprise, social media use is on the rise among teenagers and, you know, kids who are approaching their teenage years. The pandemic certainly, you know, propelled media use. But not only among teens is it on the rise, adults' use of social media is on the rise as well. And here are just some of the popular sites that adults subscribe to: Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube. So adults are, you know, hooked onto social media through their personal devices. And it's no surprise, really, that as the rise of social media happens, the engagement in reading is actually declining among elementary age students and then middle school students. And that's a challenge for us as educators because media can be very entertaining. It's very distracting. And if, you know, kids are spending time using technology and media, sometimes it does take away from reading time. But because reading has so many benefits, we want to really try to balance this and bring kids back into a culture that celebrates the importance of reading. So even though the rise of media might be a challenge, we can embrace people's use of media in the ways in which we engage them in building reading culture. So we can build a whole digital campaign around reading. So that's the first thing that we did in my school district. I work in a town called Long Beach. So we created a slogan and a hashtag called LB Reads and designed a logo. And the logo is representative of our school community because I work in a beach town. So we have our logo there from the district. We have a sandcastle, and it really captures the importance of reading, but also in the context of our community. So that might be something that you think about. You can do this at the class level, at the school level. And what this logo and slogan becomes is it becomes a visual representation of the culture that you're trying to build. So I have the sandcastle one developed by an artist. And then these are drafts of logo creations that students have created on platforms like Canva. So you could do it either way. You can have kids create your logo. You can have it professionally done. And then what we do is we embrace the use of social media to help spread our reading campaign. So these are just some social media posts of, you can see people hashtagging LB Reads. You'll see the logo throughout these posts. And what starts to happen is because we are attaching the reading to the social media use, which is so common and profound for people, It's a way to mesh those two practices so that the reading campaign becomes what people want to post about, right? So you can see that after the logo and the hashtag was designed, all of a sudden it started to become part of the community. Bulletin boards. Teachers wanted to hashtag everything with LB Reads. These are book covers that kids made. We use it when we have parent events as part of our advertising. So you're essentially creating a brand for the importance of reading. We have t-shirts for when we do parent events. So this is a group of people who did a parent event. This was just this past August. This is our school website. The LB Reads logo is there. This is an email signature of the director of humanities that she puts on her email signature. When we were doing Bitmoji classrooms, during the pandemic, doing some virtual teaching, teachers put the LB Reads logo in their virtual classroom. So what you can do then after the word starts to get out about the importance of your reading campaign is to engage in community outreach, because that is one of the foundational ideas for this culture building, is that your community can support you. So when we first launched our reading campaign, I had contacted a local pizzeria, and they had agreed to, on two separate nights, to welcome students to the pizzeria. And if they brought the book that they were currently reading, or when they went to go order a slice of pizza, if they told the person who was serving them the pizza, the book that they were reading, or the character that was in their book, they gave the students a free slice of pizza. So that was a way that the town and the community can support what's important in the schools. We also did a summer read aloud initiative where at different parts of the places in the community, the library, the parks, social places that, people gather within the community, playgrounds, we had members of the team go and do read alouds where kids were situated. And we advertised this on paper through email for parents. And this is an example of my colleague and I, who is the director of technology, doing a read aloud about yoga at a local Martin Luther King Center. We visited the students in the morning and we, stayed connected to kids throughout the summer. So those are some ways that you can launch your campaign and then invite community members to support it outside of the school building. The second strategy is to be a reading role model. So we want to kind of reflect on our lives as readers, as adults, and how that impacts the ways in which we engage kids in reading practices. And John Hattie does some research about school culture and just how important teachers are to school culture. And what he shares is that if teachers kind of work together to build culture collectively, that is an indicator of success. And he also supports the idea, which is so important, that teachers are among the most powerful influences of student learning. So if teachers are reading role models for kids, that signals to kids that it is important. And when teachers have time to work together, to build culture together, that can lead to success. So one way that adults can be reading role models for kids is to have adults share what they are currently reading, which is what I had asked you, invited you to do when we first started. And this currently reading sign is something that you can display in the classroom, in the hallways, outside of office spaces. And it's a great conversation piece for kids. It can be laminated. It can be put in a sheet protector. And the idea is to invite all people, kids, adults, to share what they are currently reading in the physical space of your reading community. And here's a collage where you can see all different types of teachers and people who work in the school participating in sharing what they are reading. And again, that signals to kids that, hey, reading is important. Even my nurse wants to share what she's reading with me. And then teachers do so many creative things with this currently reading sign to help launch reading routines. There you can see pictures on the right of people holding the book that they put on their sign. This is a math teacher. So he had taken this and then put it on social media. This is the first thing that I do with new teachers at new teacher orientation. Whether it's an art teacher, a reading teacher, a science teacher, I engage all new people in the school community to share what they're reading and to encourage them to talk to kids about what they're reading. And when you model these practices with students, it translates to engagements in the classroom. So here's a high school hallway display where all kids at the beginning of the year, when they started independent reading, made their own currently reading sign. And then, like I said, teachers have done some really cool things with this tool. Here is an example of how the currently reading sign has turned into a reading record. So all of those pieces of paper on the red ribbon are little book reviews of the books that the students have read throughout the year. And the same thing on the right there on the wall. And then the currently reading sign kind of evolves as the year goes on because, you know, we want to change things up, refresh our routines. And this is another example of a currently reading sign where kids are thinking about, you know, around this time of year, what's their favorite book that they've read? What are they currently reading? What do they want to read next? And we use it as a goal setting tool. Another way that we can engage adults in sharing their reading life is to plan a book swap. So I've done several of these in our school community where we make reading social and we gather teachers together around some food and some good books and some reading games, and we swap books. And at this event, you know, I model some ways that we can make reading engaging for kids, like Read the Rainbow there, where you select book covers that are different colors, makes a reading display enticing for students. And this was my first book swap that I did, you know, when I first started. And it was lovely. We played a game around the table. It was around the winter time. I tied it into celebrating the new year. And then later that year in June, we had another book swap. And you can see just in a couple of months how the engagement had grown. We had more people come. It was outside. We had played games. And what happened is this translated to teachers doing book swaps at the end of the school year to get kids ready for summer reading. So here is an example of teachers playing a beach ball reading game at our book swap. And then those two pictures on the bottom, I had joined a teacher actually in her classroom to do a similar activity to engage kids in a book swap and a reading game as they were getting ready for summer reading. So the translation does happen. When teachers and adults get involved in something and they get excited about it, you know, they often want to bring it into their classroom. Another way that adults can really develop their reading lives and share in their community is to design a reading newsletter. So you can do this among the adults in your school. You can do this with the families of your students. And one way to do it is you solicit recommendations from people in the school community, and you can put it onto an online newsletter, and then you share it out. So I made mine on S'more, but you can use Canva, you can use Google Doc, anything that you're comfortable with. And I had, you know, asked for recommendations for the classroom, any personal reading that people were doing that they wanted to share, and any professional books. And I would share this out 3 times a year, one in the fall, one in the winter, one in the spring. And it's just a way for people to keep their finger on the pulse when it comes to reading, and to share among adults book recommendations to keep reading a priority among what adults are thinking about. Another strategy is to host book clubs for adults. The more we read as educators, the more prepared we are to recommend and talk about books with students. And we can practice a lot of great conversation protocol and book club protocol among ourselves that we can bring into the classroom with students. This is the original book club that I did with a team of teachers. It started out quite small, and we had started in the very early on in March of 2020. And a couple of weeks later, you know, we learned that our school was closed, but we agreed to keep our book club going because that community and that connection was really important to this group, and they didn't want to end our book club. So we started to meet virtually. And then what happened is our book clubs kept growing and growing and growing. So in this case, technology was a really great asset to invite people into these reading communities. And I still do multiple book clubs, you know, to this day. And, you know, the virtual access of you know, Zoom and Google Meet really helps people to participate. And we can have just as great of a conversation on Zoom as we do in person. And these are just some of the reflections from book club participants. And, you know, world language teachers participate, librarians participate, classroom teachers participate, secretaries participate. It's just a way to keep people connected and involved in reading. So you can see that, you know, this world language teacher really is thankful for the culture and how, you know, book clubs help her to think about keeping an open mind with students. Here's a reflection from a high school librarian about how adults from all disciplines, you know, can talk about books with each other. Here's a reflection from an English teacher, just about the power of perspective. And when you're in a book club, you know, you learn that people think and feel differently, and that's okay. We can have healthy discussions when people share their differences. And in English as a new language teacher, she wrote, being a part of the book club enabled me to read and talk about current topics with teachers who are different in different schools that I don't see very often. So the connection is really powerful. So when adults participate in book clubs, it translates to the work that we can do in school. And in some cases, it really motivated some revision to our curriculum to add book clubs into our units of study. So books as mirrors and windows is often a way that we engage in conversation in our adult book clubs. And here is some work that a high school teacher had done to engage students in reflections about books as mirrors and windows. And, you know, there's a reproducible in the Leading a Culture of Reading book to help stimulate that. And then it becomes part of the print and the culture that kids are part of. So because this teacher participated in a book club where we talked a lot about mirrors and windows, she made it into a bulletin board for her students. And here's another example of that. So the hallways are filled with evidence of teacher participation in these book clubs. These are all books that, you know, we've read. The teacher integrates them into her book talks with students. We talk a lot about reading identity in book club. Here's a student bulletin board where an elementary teacher engaged her students in thinking about their reading identity. And another way that we can engage adults in a celebratory reading culture is through a book tasting. A book tasting is a really, really fun and engaging way to learn how to make choices about books, to learn how to review books, to learn different genres of books, to form initial opinions. And it could be a really fun way to engage kids into launching independent reading or choosing a book for a unit, maybe a book club unit or a specific genre that you're about to go into. So you can set this up in many different ways. You can see I have an apron there. I know it's a little tough to see, but I have that LB Reads logo and a chef's hat. And I, you know, rolled this out with teachers who eventually brought it into their classrooms, where you can get, you know, plastic red and white checkered tablecloths, and you put books around the table, and everybody starts with a book in front of them. And for about 3 or 4 minutes, you know, quote unquote, taste the book. You look at the inside cover, you look at the back cover, you read the first page or two, and you sample it just as if you would sample a, you know, a food or a dessert. And then, you know, you record your initial reaction to the book tasting. So you can see that there's a menu there with emojis. And then after you sample about 3 or 4 books at your table, maybe one of those books will be a book that you read next. So when I do this with teachers, I put out books of all different genres so that they can learn, you know, new books that are being published. But when you're doing it with students, you might have a table of realistic fiction. You might have a table of mystery or a table of nonfiction, and you can organize your book tasting by author, by genre, by series, lots of different ways that you can organize your table. This takes a little bit more preparation. But you can also, you know, around the holidays, do a book tasting where you wrap the book up and you type the first line, or you know, copy the first page and, you know, or part of it, and you put it on the wrapping paper, and kids can read, you know, the first line or just look at an excerpt from the book, and then they open up the book to see what it is. So that's another way that you could do a book tasting. And here's a bigger version of that menu where kids can record their thinking from the book tasting. And treats are always great. So, you know, sometimes schools have different policies about food, but, you know, when I work with adults, I do bring some snacks. It helps, you know, make the work a little more fun. And then I put out books that have to do with food. So there's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And again, when we practice these things among adults and reflect on them, that translates to work with kids. So here is an example of a book tasting where fourth graders were starting a unit on character. So you can see the teachers put the red and white tablecloth. There's a bunch of elementary book tastings in that collage. Some high school teachers have digitized a book tasting where they do it via Google Slides and they put the book covers digitally. And they might link to like a book trailer that's already on YouTube or a review on Amazon. So there's a way to make it digital if you share room and space is an issue. So in addition to branding your campaign and reflecting and embracing your reading identity as an adult, we also might want to think about ways to make reading very public and visible, right? And so that we can engage people in participating in building the culture with us. So one of the things that I share in the book that I'm very passionate about is building reading culture is not a trend. It's not something that, you know, goes away. It's about building tradition. And it's about something that we are going to commit to over time so that all of our students, as they move through our classrooms and move through our schools, know what the learning community really values. And one of the guiding principles around new literacies, which is a framework that integrates the power of digital literacy and literacy communities, is that literacy is participatory. So we actually develop literacies through participation. And that's what we want to engage adults and students in. So what do I mean by going public? One of the ways that we can make reading celebrations public is to make it into a holiday. So I had invited you to think about what you are passionate about. And one of the things that I'm passionate about actually is Valentine's Day. I really love February. I love Valentine's Day. I'm not really sure why, but I always have. So I decided to make February Fall in Love Book Love Month in our school community. And it's a time of year where we put a little exclamation point on our celebration of book love and reading reflection. And because, you know, as the person, you know, who works with teams to do this, when you share your passion and your enthusiasm with others, that's contagious. You know, not everybody is going to want to pull your passion in, but there will be people that appreciate the size of your pom-poms. And it's your pom-poms can never be too big when it comes to sharing reading culture. So here's how to create your book love month. You can use AI, you can use Canva to create a visual. You can have kids design a visual. So this one was actually an illustration by a student one year. And then I went digital and created the image for Fall in Love Book Love Month. And then there's a whole plethora of things that you could do to celebrate throughout the month. You can have author visits, you can deck your halls with book love, reading reflections, you could do school-wide book talks. You can host a book fair or a book swap, like we mentioned before. And this is just how Book Love Month has evolved in our reading community over the past couple of years. Ironically, I didn't think about this originally, but World Read Aloud Day is in February, which is actually today, World Read Aloud Day, February 7th this year. So that's a way you can, you know, bring book love to life. And these are just some ways that people have celebrated. Authors do a lot of virtual presentations on World Read Aloud Day. Here's an example of a middle school advisory period where all adults did a read aloud from a chapter of Kwame Alexander's book to celebrate. And then here's just some hallway displays where book love really kind of explodes. There's a lot of red and pink and hearts and appreciation for reading throughout the month. People have come up with really creative ways to celebrate, beautiful, beautiful ways. And to see the schools kind of transform around this time of year to really prioritize reading and make it a part of what kids see every day is super special. And, you know, I'm showing you displays in the hallway, but those displays are work that's done in the classroom. So the conversation and the coaching around thinking about reading from teachers happens so that, you know, these displays can come to life. And I'm showing you pre-K, elementary school, middle school, high school, all different ways that people bring it to students. We have a high school book fair, actually, that is this week in my school. So that's a way that we celebrate the month. And we also bring in other departments in our reading celebrations. So we do a live broadcast of a morning news show every morning in our high school. So they do a live coverage of the book fair during the announcements, just again, to bring in some more kids to elevate the culture. Similarly, another way we make reading public is in December, we do a gift of reading celebration. And I'm going to let the students tell you about our gift of reading celebration.
Happy holidays, Long Beach families. We're excited to share with you a way that you can celebrate reading throughout this holiday season and into the new year.
Long Beach schools are launching a holiday reading celebration to celebrate the gifts that reading can give us. All students in all of our schools will receive a book recommendation each day throughout the holiday season.
Book recommendations will come from students in our schools. Elementary school book recommendations will come from students in the elementary schools. Middle school book recommendations will come from students in the middle school. And high school book recommendations will come from students in the high school.
Families can follow along throughout the holiday reading celebration by checking out the book recommendations each day on the website provided in the email you received with this video.
So don't forget to join us in celebrating while reading this holiday season, and we hope you all have a happy holiday season and a happy new year.
¡Feliz días festivos a todas las familias de Long Beach! Este año les brindamos una nueva actividad para estas fechas, implementar la lectura. Estaremos brindando recomendaciones diarias de libros para todas las escuelas del distrito. Padres de familia, estudiantes pueden seguir esta actividad en el sitio web enlazado a este correo.
¡Happy Holidays! ¡Feliz días festivos!
Okay, so we had our news team create that video. So again, that's another way to get kids involved in building your reading culture. And here's just some behind the scenes of filming that intro video about the gift of reading. And they mentioned book recommendations. So I send a Google form where kids can recommend books. And then I take those recommendations and I send a slide deck to teachers. Every morning they get an email throughout the month of December. And then when they click each day on the slide, the gift disappears and then the book cover appears underneath. So the kids get really excited to see, you know, what book is underneath the gift box that, box that disappears. And I'm going to show you two quick videos of a gift of reading, you know, revealing in the morning during December. That's what the gift of reading is each day. Great way for kids to share about the books they love and to get book recommendations. And the next strategy, in addition to branding reading, having adult reading role models, making reading celebratory and public, is to put students in a leadership position and to help students build your community. An important reason why we want to put kids in leadership positions is because it gives them agency. And it also teaches them leadership skills like planning and organization. So even if a student isn't the most avid reader, if they want to be part of building the reading culture, they can build those leadership skills and be part of, you know, leaving a mark on their school community. Even like I said, if they don't love reading yet, they can be part of the culture in a different way. So you can create a, you know, literacy ambassador team, a reading ambassador team, look at structures in your school that already have spaces where kids can come together in leadership positions and maybe, you know, create a reading dimension to that group. Because like I said, if we involve kids in developing the culture and give them that agency, it can kind of move away from that disengagement in reading that the research tells us is happening. It also helps some kids to develop in a niche and or to be part of a niche. So if we think about, you know, communities that kids are involved in schools, like theater, sports, dance, art, those are all groups, you know, robotics that kids kind of find themselves in, which is wonderful. And for some kids, reading might be a place where they find themselves. So by building a culture and allowing kids to become part of that, it creates a community within the community that some kids really might gravitate toward. So there are a lot of opportunities for student leadership in schools. You just have to think about your context. So like I said, you can form a team of reading ambassadors. They can host a student-led school-wide book talk. They can host book talks in the classroom. You can create a Readers as Leaders program. And I'll share just a couple of how these examples have come to life in my school community. So here are three students that hosted a school-wide book talk at the high school level. They chose the book. We sampled a lot of books. We had a lot of conversations. We talked about, you know, the audience of the school and what they might be interested in. And then they planned everything about the event. They chose the date. They chose the time. They chose the book. And it just so happened that in their film class that they were in, they were working on a documentary unit. And because they were so interested in this school-wide event that they were planning, they actually created a documentary about reading at the high school level simultaneously to planning the school book talk. I did not plan that. You know, it just so happened that they were in this film class. So when we create these opportunities for kids to be a part of, magic can happen and things can kind of grow from opportunities that we create. So like I said, they wanted to create this reading documentary. That's another way for them to build the culture that I didn't even anticipate. So here's an example of the book talk that took place. They developed the questions, they had the conversation, and then we went virtual, which did increase some of our participation. And the two students on the bottom with the blue arrows, they were our hosts. We did breakout rooms. So even if you don't want to meet in school and in person, you can meet virtually. We also had an author visit that the student was the moderator and organized. And another way that we can promote student leadership is through reading role models where older kids read to younger kids. So you can do this across buildings, virtually or in person, or you could do it within the building, like a book buddy program. So just today, actually, for World Read Aloud Day, middle school readers in my school community did virtual read alouds with elementary school classes. So that's a way for kids to build confidence. Here's an example of what I just described for World Read Aloud Day. This was from last year. So our middle school readers were building confidence, and our elementary school kids got to see older kids in the act of reading as reading role models. And then this is an example of how this can happen in a building. So fifth graders reading to students in kindergarten. And our last way is to partner with families. Building a strong home and school partnership is essential to supporting kids. And there's a lot of research that supports, you know, when we engage families and we invite them and we embrace them in our school community and really honor their identities, it can have, you know, a positive impact on students. And there's research that actually defines two different types of involvement, school-based involvement and home-based involvement. One is school-based is when parents and caregivers attend things like back-to-school night or parent-teacher conferences. And home-based involvement is when parents and caregivers embrace, you know, what's happening in school and bring it into the home and create some environments around learning in the home. So I'm going to show you a quick video that explains one of the ways in which we partner with families through an event called Parent Academy, where we engage parents in learning and we work with them to create partnerships around the importance of reading.
Long Beach parents are invited to attend our Elementary Parent Academy, coaching our kids on October 23rd at 6:30 in Long Beach Middle School Auditorium. Parent Academy is an opportunity for parents to learn practical ways to support learning at home. Teams of teachers design workshops that are informative, hands-on, and focused on areas of learning that are representative of what students experience in the classroom. At Parent Academy, parents can enter free raffles to win gift cards from local businesses, educational games for children, and book bundles. You will meet a team of people from the school community who are invested in helping families best support our students in Long Beach. Parents can register for Parent Academy through the paper registration slip that was sent home with the students, or through the online registration link that could be found on the paper registration slip or the school website under Important Announcements. We hope to see parents of elementary students for Parent Academy Coaching Our Kids on October 23rd at 6:30 in the Long Beach Middle School Auditorium. Register today.
So when designing these Parent Academies, here are just some things that you can keep in mind. So to choose a focus area of something that's important to your reading community. So the theme for the video that you just saw was coaching kids, like how to support them and coach them as readers. And that was an elementary version. Whereas in the fall this year, one of my teams and I did a Parent Academy for middle and high school parents on artificial intelligence and how that contributes to a child's reading life and literacy life. So you decide on your audience, decide whether to host it in person or virtually. Sometimes hosting virtually gets some more participation. Think about the structure for your event, if you want those workshops like you saw in the video, or if you want one presentation. And then to really prioritize access. So when planning parent academies, I consider the languages that are spoken in our school community and share material and promotion material in the languages that are spoken. Transportation is offered to families to come to our school events via school buses. Childcare is often provided, and that could be done, not at a cost. Just recently in August when we did an event, I had students volunteer for National Junior Honor Society credit, and they did some coloring and drawing with some young children while their parents attended the workshops. Advertising and promoting the event frequently is important. Sharing resources and things that families can take with them is very important. And then asking families, for feedback. So if you participate in planning together, you can work to create events that are relevant and interesting to families. We also, invited public library representatives to come to our events so that they can hook families up to library cards. There's an example of the childcare, like I had said before. And then this is just some of the setups from some of our recent events. Raffles are always fun. You can give away books for families to take with them. And something else you can do with caregivers is to host a book study. So to think about what you want to engage parents and caregivers in conversation about, share an invitation, and really to acknowledge how diverse people's lifestyles are. Making time for reading is not easy for everybody, and to really be sensitive to how different, families' home lives are, and to be prepared to support the diverse community that you may have. So here's an example of How to Raise a Reader by Pamela Paul and Maria Russo. So I had hosted a book study for caregivers with using this book. It was virtual, just to increase some participation. It was also during the time of the pandemic as well. So we were doing a lot of things virtually. And even if a parent or caregiver did not read this book, them attending the book study would be valuable because we were talking about how to support kids with reading. And for those who did read the book, they could reference some of the points that were made. Another way to partner with families is to host a school-wide book talk and invite caregivers and families to join. So last year we read The Fort by Gordon Corman in our middle school, and we hosted an event before school where we served some bagels and some juice, and we broke up into groups, and teachers, administrators, students, parents, caregivers came, and we discussed The Fort by Gordon Corman, and all were invited to read it and come participate. So I know I shared a lot in the past hour or so, But each of these events and each of these big ideas of branding reading, having adult reading role models, making reading public and celebratory and participatory, having student leadership and partnering with families all tie back to that reading is important, community is important, everyone is important, joy is important, and engagement is important. And the LB Reads campaign and the work around LB Reads in our community really stands on those five ideas. So my advice to you is embrace some, meaning that not all adults are going to jump on board right away, but many will. And I encourage you to have those book love pom-poms in your hand and that they never can be too big. And be fearless in your messaging. I even said, don't be afraid to have really big book love pom-poms. Lead with passion for the work. And building a reading culture is a marathon, not a sprint. I showed you a lot of things that have taken years to develop. You know, when we do presentations, it seems like it all kind of fits, you know, in it with a nice bow. But this comes from a lot of years of teamwork and thinking and planning. It doesn't all happen at once. And I once had a colleague when I was, you know, feeling just a little discouraged, you know, at one point, she said to me, Lorraine, you know, if you don't do this important work, who will? You know, you can't give up. And I want to share that with you. You are here, which is amazing. And I want to ask you that if you don't do this important work, who will? Because that was a really powerful question for me to think about a couple of years ago. And it re-energized, you know, when I was feeling like, oh, maybe this isn't going to work. Because I think all leaders, all teachers, all educators feel like that at some point. But it's the passion and those big pom-poms that really, really gives you that energy. And it's the participation from the students and teachers that really fuels it. And it makes it all worth it. So I really appreciate you being here. I would love your feedback. I love your comments. I'm happy to answer any questions. And like I said, please connect with me. You can reach me on social media, X, Instagram, Facebook. Feel free to post something that you learned today. And I'm always happy to continue this conversation. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Riddies, for this wonderful presentation. And like everybody is saying in the comments, incredible ideas. And I am one of those people that will literally believe that this was just something that you came up with today, like just inspiring it. But like you said, it's years in the making, and you've probably done, you know, test runs, test trials to what works, what didn't work. So I am so excited just to see how inspired people who are here joining us are with all the ideas that you have provided for us. We do have a couple of questions. We might not be able to get to all of them, but I will cover just at least a couple here. So there is a question here. How does equity factor into the launch of a reading campaign, particularly in under-resourced communities? How might this rollout look in Hempstead or Wyandanch? I think I said that wrong, for example.
Yeah. So I think, you know, going back to respecting, you know, and really acknowledging the diversity within your community is the first step. You know, knowing your families, partnering with your families, knowing the dynamics of the community might, you know, influence the way that you launch your campaign. And if you notice in, you know, all of the ideas that I shared were appropriate, you want to think about, you know, digital access, print access, the diversity of the languages that are spoken in your community. So I think that, you know, you can still launch, you know, something to promote what's important in your community. You would just want to do it in a way where families can access and celebrate with you. So I think having that knowledge and knowing how your families can access and participate in your space is the first way to really think about thoughtfully how to launch your campaign. You know, going back to those community read alouds that we had done when we first launched the campaign to involve, you know, as many people as possible. One of the things that we thought of was that there were students, you know, attending camp at that Martin Luther King Center. There were students attending school-based camps within the community. And we knew that many families were working during the day, and maybe parents wouldn't be able to bring students to a read aloud, let's say at 10:30 in the morning. So we purposely scheduled read alouds where we knew kids were going to be because their, you know, their parents put them there either for childcare, for recreation. So to alleviate a bit from the parents, we, you know, scheduled purposely so that students can participate in the literacy event, but in a way that was supportive of how families were designing, you know, their day in the summer. So that's an example of how we were trying to really increase access and participation for kids.
Wow. And that is such a great way or example that you just mentioned as to how you are really considering your community and the way that it is working, not just the way that you're envisioning something, but the way that it's already functioning. And then how do you add on to that, to how you can properly make all of this work. Wow.
Yeah, and if I could just mention one more thing, you know, the public library is actually a center point in the town of our community. So I've actually done, you know, parent presentations at the library. They have like a recreational room that they allow us to use. And it's walking distance, you know, because it's a central part, you know, it's close to many homes and community spaces. So even thinking outside your school buildings, that not every family might be able to access all the schools, think about the neighborhood schools, think about neighborhood spaces in the community, and they might be, you know, willing to welcome the school to do events there so that you're in a centralized location for more access for families.
Wow, yes. All right, here is another question. Oh, just there's two related questions. If you could share the beach ball reading game, they were all so great. I love the tasting one.
Yeah, the beach ball is you know, just a plastic beach ball that you blow up, and I took a Sharpie, and then on each of the colored stripes on the ball, there was a question to share about the book that you brought to your book swap. So, you know, who is your favorite character and why? Or tell about your favorite part of the story. Or I'm recommending this book because, and it helps kids to talk about the book that they've read or the book that they want to share, you know, in a fun kind of play oriented way. So that was the beach ball game.
Nice. Well, that reminds me, I think everybody's old enough to know or still remember the game with the paper that went like this. And
oh, yes. Like
I think we all are still not that much younger to not know what that was. Right. Lastly here, we do have several questions here and we do appreciate them, but I really was going to read all of them and I just realized what the time is. Okay. So how do you deal with book bans? What if you're limited on really good books to recommend because of bans?
The book banning hasn't really impacted building the culture. Because the culture doesn't necessarily have to be about specific books. It's about prioritizing that reading is important. So, you know, whatever kids and families and teachers are comfortable, with having in their libraries, the culture is one piece, and then, you know, you can have whatever books available, you know, whatever your community is comfortable with. So, you can still build your reading culture, even if that is a concern in your community.
Yes. All right. Like I said, thank you so much, everybody who is still sharing your time with us. And thank you so much for your questions. We will continue forward and we will end this webinar. But we do want to recommend that you navigate to solutiontree.com/LorraineRadice to learn more about her, but then also request her availability through Solution Tree to bring her to your school to connect to your school or connect virtually as well. So thank you so much, Dr. Radice. If you want to leave us with anything else, if not, then we're going to go ahead and end this webinar.
No, I just want to thank everybody for being here. I really appreciate you sharing your time with us. Get those pom-poms out, build your book love. And if you are interested in resources and more ideas, I invite you to take a look at the book. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.